Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Well, another dog took a trip around the sun, Mr. Blake Reniger, the heavyweight champ of the Real Takes. He's 21 years old, well, with a couple of years' experience. You know, Blake and Amari, they share the same birthday, but Amari's number two in the field, while Blake and this podcast are number one in our hearts. So grab your drinks, grab your snacks, and let's hear some of Blake's great takes. Go Brownies! Woo, woo, woo.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniger, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Thank you, Kenny Mack, for that intro. It's the first time I heard it. I'm having a hard time not getting choked up right now.
I see the water in the eyes. Happy belated.
Yep. You're too kind, man. You're too kind. And I've had enough snacks. So, but you guys can get yours if you'd like. As you can see, John's still missing ever since he disappeared in a puff of smoke last episode.
Yeah.
He's kind of been AWOL. So if you guys see John, let him know that he's got a show to do. He's not getting paid for today.
That's right.
He's not on salary. If you want to get your answers on the show, say something nice about me. Head to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail on the drop-down menu. Today we're going to get into the Deshaun Watson news that broke today, some news about a possible new Brown Stadium, a few other things. But before we do, remember you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. If you prefer to just listen to the show, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. Lastly, if you're looking for more content, head to jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. We're getting closer to fantasy football season. I think we should be able to have 3 or 4 leagues on there. You get an extra episode every week. We have Music Mondays that I started, and I actually remember this week. Well, kind of. Kenny,
I was going to say kind of remember.
Kenny texted me. He was like, hey, man, you going to do this post? So if you guys don't know this, he's like the fifth member of this show, proxied through Canada. And then we got threads on there all the time, people talking, people all over the world are in this thing. So if you're looking for more direct access to us, you want to meet more Browns fans from all over, jump in there. It's super fun for everybody. Jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So we had a whole show lined up today, and then a bunch of news dropped. We had to scrap it and start over. Obviously, the big news that everybody's going to be talking about, Deshaun Watson settles 20 of the 24 civil cases that were being filed against him. What do you guys think of it? What do you think it means for a suspension? I know we got a voicemail coming up. I don't know if we want to talk about it first or if you want to play the voicemail first.
Why don't we talk about it a little bit? Okay. And we can play the voicemail.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So what are you guys' thoughts? First of all, were you surprised he settled?
Yes. Yeah. I am surprised that he settled. So I don't even know where to start with this. I'm trying to like get my best views on everything, but like to me, for weeks and months and years, he's been saying, you know, I'm innocent. I'm going to clear my name. I'm not going to settle. I'm going to fight to clear my name. I'm being wrongfully accused. Like, and I'm saying when I read all these like the cases and stuff, like to me, it's a little fictionalized. It feels like it feels a little bit. You know, I don't think that I need to know that he has a Rolls Royce that he pulled up in, like things like that. But like to me, and I told these guys earlier, I think the national perception and then, you know, even some Browns fans are going to feel like, well, why are you settling? And then why are you settling? And it's got to be, you know, what do they call it? Where you can't talk about it.
Confidential.
Like, yeah. Confidential, you know, confidentiality or whatever. So for me, you know, I don't know if there's something else going on where maybe you know, I don't think the NFL is saying, hey, if you settle, we're going to help you out here. Because I think after you guys read that article, the NFL isn't trying to do any favors for Deshaun Watson. It sounds like they're coming fire and brimstone at him.
So at first I was surprised that he settled and I was a little bummed too, because I was looking forward to him, like, taking it to him in court.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I thought, everybody who thinks he's guilty, no matter what he did, if he would have won all 24 cases, they still just would have thought he was guilty.
That's fair.
It would have done nothing. So just get it over with.
Just get rid of it.
Smooth forward.
Because doing the settling does not mean guilty or liable. It does not. No. People settle all the time because they don't want to deal with it. And again, it would not do anything. Even if he beat them all, people would still say he was guilty. Literally, two grand juries didn't press criminal charges, and you still say he's guilty. So nothing he would have done would have changed the perception of that.
Remember what we learned about civil cases too. Like, even if somebody's found liable, it's only a little over, what is it, 51%?
Yeah.
It's not like, what was it, the...
The burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt in criminal cases. So there's that side of it too. I think the NFL said, hey man, you can't play this year with this going on. Settle these cases and we'll work on a suspension. I think that he, because of settling, I'm thinking like 4-8 games max.
That's exactly where I landed on this too. As soon as I saw this, I thought, okay, this definitely had to do with possible suspension. I'm sure there was pressure from probably the team too, saying, you know what, because even Angelina Adams, when we had her on a month ago or whatever, said the same thing, that the team might even get in there and say, hey, we kind of need this to go away.
Yeah, it's a dark cloud.
We don't want the announcer talking about this every time you throw a touchdown.
Correct.
So, I think the league was like, listen, if you don't settle, okay, good for you, but you're not playing while this is going on. And on the flip side, if you settle, they might be saying they're pushing for a year, but it's all for optics. They want to look like they're trying to be hard, and then the NFLPA is going to push for zero, and they're going to meet somewhere in the middle. There was talks, you know, there's wording in the bylaws of the league and I'm sure a lot of people have seen this, that owners are to be held to a higher standard than the players.
Yes.
So it's been reported that the NFLPA is ready. If the league tries to throw the hammer on them, they're going to fight it tooth and nail. Like, listen, Bob Kraft, literal video evidence, this dude getting tugged, for lack of a better term.
Way to clean her up.
Way to do that PG version of it.
Video evidence. It's on camera. Nothing happened to him.
No.
Mm-mm. He didn't even get a fine, I don't think. I'd have to look it up. I don't want to speak out of turn. If he did get fined, let me know.
But either way, it was slap on the wrist.
Minuscule, nothing.
Yeah.
What about Daniel Snyder for Washington?
Yeah, like, John Gruden got fired from his a job that had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's scot-free, nothing. And then Jerry Jones is also under the gun for this. And it's just like, the NFLPA is going to say, listen, you got three owners here who've, honestly, there's way more evidence of wrongdoing on their end, and you let them off with nothing. How are you going to punish this guy for a whole year when there was no criminal cases, no nothing, no evidence?
No evidence, yeah.
So I look for them to fight that hard, and I look for them to settle somewhere in like the 6-8, and then to get appealed down and be like 4-6.
Yeah, I think that sounds pretty reasonable.
I think some people immediately, once they heard this news, thought, oh God, he's going to be gone for the year. Complete opposite in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
Complete opposite. I thought, okay, this just means we're going to have him this year.
Yeah, and you know, I was having a little bit of an argument earlier with somebody about, you know, whether or not he's guilty of all the things and this and that. And I said, well, at this point, there is still, like you said, no evidence.
Zero.
There's zero evidence that anything that's been alleged actually happened. Now, whether you think that, okay, it probably did happen or it didn't, whatever, that's your personal opinion on the matter, but it doesn't prove anything as far as legal goes.
No, I had somebody on, I forget, it was either YouTube or Twitter or something, trying to compare. They said, well, there was no evidence against OJ, and we all know he did it. Guys,
this is different.
There was lots of evidence against OJ. It went to trial.
Exactly.
it's also well known. It's one of the most botched trials in criminal law history, in the history of the country. So it's nothing the same. There's zero evidence. They wouldn't even go to a trial in this case. OJ had a full trial on display for the whole country. it's not even comparable.
And the thing that I keep arguing too is I know what the allegations are against Deshaun, and I know what his response about them are, is that to try to keep it PG, things were consensual in these situations. And yeah. The things that happened in those situations, if they were consensual, they're not illegal.
Correct.
They're not illegal. You can do those things. It's totally cool.
And to the people saying, well, it's at least it were soliciting prostitution, not if he still got a massage. You know?
Yeah.
If that's your goal, but you still received the massage, you paid for the massage, you got the rest after. That's not illegal. Now, if you showed up and you just gave her money and did the deed, that's prostitution. That's not what anybody's accusing him of.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not illegal. So, I mean, I'm not going to say just because some people are doing it, it means it's okay for him to do it. But again, Bob Kraft's on video. Just.
Yeah. And I think that's important. Not to make light of the situation. We said that last week. I mean, everything that's absolutely. Been accused is absolutely horrible if it's true. But again, we can't sit here and say it is. You know what I mean? We've seen enough people get their reputation destroyed, their careers. You know, people get canceled off of TV shows and movie sets and all these kinds of things over accusations.
Yeah, and like Mike Florio is trying to say he shouldn't be allowed to play until all this is done. And I'm like, well, what if he – so you're going to put his career on hold for 2, 3, 4 years? And what if he wins every case?
And he already put his career on hold for a whole year. I know.
If the NFL were to do that and then he won every case, he would sue the NFL so hard for damages.
Absolutely.
He would own the NFL.
So, you know, I know a lot of people today were saying, you know, well, he settled that, you know, that it is like admission of guilt or whatever. So I just was looking up some stuff. Just why would people settle, you know, rather than go to trial? And some of the reasons, in most cases, Angeline said this, it's less expensive to settle than to actually go through with the trial. Trials are stressful. Civil suits can sometimes or typically take up to 3 to 4 years to be resolved.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because great. Even if a defendant is found liable, they can appeal and go through the process again. So are we really going to string this out, like you said, for multiple years? Settling is often more appealing to the plaintiff. There's no guarantee that they're going to win in court. Judge can dismiss evidence. Witnesses can be deemed unreliable. And even if the defendant is found liable, no guarantee the money awarded will be more than what the settlement would have been. And settling, it actually said on this law site I was reading, it removes the question of liability. It doesn't determine it. If the parties settle, no one is found liable or not liable.
And let's be honest, the lawyer, the attorney, Busby, he did not want this to go to trial.
No.
he was most likely going to get obliterated.
And I think that's... We kind of speculated that that's why it was such a large number.
Yes. Right? Why he was piling it on. He was pushing for this settlement. Well, one, he just lined his pockets. All these people who are saying he's fighting for these women, he probably just made 10 times more money than any of them.
Yeah.
Like, they're all getting peanuts compared to what this guy. I don't know if you guys have seen this guy's, like, net worth and house. This dude's insanely rich.
The little bit of research I did on him when I, you know, a few months ago, and I did the whole Deshaun legal situation back then. Yeah,
let's not pretend like this guy's some white knight trying to just rescue and save people.
He's a sleazy lawyer.
He's trying to line his pockets with millions of dollars. Do you want to play the voicemail?
Sure. If I can pull it up, here we go.
Hey, dog, this is your favorite man, the Brown Tiger. Let's just say Watson is suspended 8 games because of the allegations, regardless if he's found liable or not, with the league. Think about the strength of schedule and say, you know, yes, we're going to suspend you 8 games, but Watson will get to play the first 8 games, and we're going to suspend you for the last 8 games because the last 8 games of the season is one of our hardest parts of the season. Do you think they would do that?
Can the NFL do that?
Well, one short answer, whether they can or they can, the answer is no.
Right. That's where I'm at. Yeah.
The answer is no. They would not do that. First of all, I don't even know if they can do it. And second of all, don't let the NFL fool you. They don't care. They just have to look like they care. Yeah. They want to make their billions of dollars. And you know what's good for TV money? Deshaun Watson making a playoff push and playing into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Don't let the NFL fool you.
This is entertainment.
This is the same league that gave Ray Rice a 2-game suspension, even though they saw the video.
That's right. There was a little bit of evidence on that one.
Didn't do anything about it until the video became public and it made them look bad. And then it became a big deal. They saw the video and only gave them 2 games. Okay, so don't let the NFL fool you. They don't care. They let Randy Gregory play football.
That's true.
Or Ray Rice.
You know what I mean? So,
or not Ray Rice, Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, allegedly. Allegedly murdered somebody.
Yeah, so don't let – they're not – they don't care about these women. They don't care about any of it. They just want to make it look like they care. So it's about the money.
I just – to me, the only way I could see this going – like where how he says it, if like week eight they go, Deshaun Watson, you're suspended 8 games. That's the only way that plays out for me. Like they're like, we're holding on to this and we've decided that we are going to suspend you for 8 games. I think if they decide, hey, you're suspended for 8 games, it's right then and there, week one to, you know, week eight, that's it. You know, depending what's our bye, I can't even remember off the top of my head.
It's somewhere like 7 or 8, isn't it?
Yeah,
seven, eight,
I mean,
nine.
Yeah. Like, so I mean, I understand the question. I just like you said, I just don't think they care really about the strength of schedule. Like, I just, to me, if they did that, the Players Association would be like, are you serious right now? And if I was like the Haslams or even like, you know, Browns ownership, Browns anything, I'd be like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't think people understand like how big and strong of an organization the NFLPA is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like one of the biggest unions, you know, that. Yeah. Like, they got a lot, they got good lawyers.
Yeah.
The best.
And a lot of money.
Yes.
They're also tied into the NFL, which is bringing in lots of money.
So, yeah, the NFL can't be, they can't just go and make it up as they go along. The NFLPA would never do that. And again, they want Deshaun playing at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, really, with the news that came out today, plus what everything you guys said about, like, the owner situation that have happened in the past, we're pretty much ruling out that year-long suspension, right? I mean,
go ahead.
You're not gonna roll it out?
No,
I don't think. I think it would be almost impossible for them to get the year.
I think if they're trying to, if they're saying, "Hey, we want to suspend him for the year," they will do everything they can to try to suspend him for the year. But my counter argument for that is the Players Association, I think, will appeal that. Deshaun's camp is going to appeal that. The Browns will appeal that, and then. To me, if you're going to hit him for a whole season, which it doesn't even come down to the NFL anyway, you know, like.
No, it's this third party.
Right.
Now she can make the recommendation, and then
right.
as long as it's more than zero, then Roger Goodell can do whatever he wants.
Right. So I think that, you know, honestly, to me, I think that if they do try to do a season, I think you meet somewhere in the middle, and it's going to be 8 to 10. I think 8 to 10. And to me, you know, 8 to 10 would be super damaging to the Browns season. I mean, I think that would be enough to really, it would cripple the season for us.
I have people trying to tell me it's going to be 2 years. I'm like, guys, no, it's not.
Because of the Bauer? Because of the Bauer case?
It has nothing to do. And
yeah, it's again, completely different.
Zero evidence.
That's the thing. That's what I keep trying to tell people is if you're going to suspend Deshaun Watson for a year or 2 years on accusations, how are you going to handle the next case that has evidence?
Well,
you're going to suspend a guy for 5 years?
Yeah. And I keep seeing a reinstatement too, like, oh, he's going to have to reinstate into the NFL. And I'm like,
no.
And they're like, Miles Garrett had to. And I'm like, well, if Miles Garrett would have hit that dude with the other side of his helmet,
he'd be in prison.
He'd be dead. Yeah. We wouldn't be talking about, oh, man, that's a crazy picture that you can put on your phone. We'd be like, holy crap. You remember that time that Browns player killed that
murdered that quarterback?
The rivalry is back because they hate us because we killed their quarterback. You know, like,
legit.
And I, you know, like, we joke about it and everything, but like, that situation could have been very different.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot. And I think it says, Miles Garrett's even said, you know, like, hey, I learned a lot from that situation.
Probably shouldn't have assaulted that guy with a deadly weapon.
Yeah. But
yeah, that was bad.
I mean, he's lucky that Mason Rudolph didn't like press criminal charges. Turns out there's evidence.
Yeah. Video.
It
was on camera.
A lot of different replay angles of that one.
Yeah. So no, to me, I think they leaked that they were pushing for the year. Cause again, they were pushing him to settle.
I think so too. I agree with everything you said. They don't want to suspend him for the year because that's not good for their ratings.
Correct.
It's not good for TV. It's not good for the money. And I do think that it's probably going to be somewhere in that 6 to 8, and then they'll appeal down to 4 to 6, and we're ready to roll.
Yep. That's the way I look at it.
Let's play ball.
I know, like, everybody who's not a Browns fan out there, or if they're a Baker fan, they're going to be screaming, you guys are crazy. Big Ben got 3 games per accusation. Deshaun's going to be suspended until 2040. Guys, no, he's not. No, he's not. We'll see him playing this year.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets, no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TPPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code TPPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
So that brings us to the next topic, the next big news of the week. It was being reported that the Haslams were looking to build a new stadium in Cleveland. They were looking at two new sites. Well, then it turns out they're not looking at building a new stadium. They're looking at doing some big-time renovations to First Energy Stadium and to the Lake Erie Shoreline. So basically, I guess my question for you guys is, what do you want to see done to the stadium, and what do you want to see done to the surrounding area?
Okay. So I think... if based off the article that I read, they want to basically turn that stadium into a year-long entertainment center, correct? Yeah, I know that they said they wanted to build, the rumor was, a $1 billion stadium. They wanted it to be somewhere that they could have concerts, entertainment, you know, year-long.
I mean, that makes sense. Why wouldn't you want that?
And did they for sure say that that's not out? Because I saw the guy that wrote the article even said he wouldn't be surprised if, like, by 2028 they weren't, like, breaking ground on a new stadium.
Now, well, they came out and said they're just doing research.
I read that too.
It should be done by 2023, like the research for this thing. No, I mean, they can say whatever they want.
Right.
You know, and then still try to go build a new stadium.
Right.
I think at the end of the day, I think the big thing that, like, Cleveland is going to push back on as far as the people that are in the city is, they're saying that the people of Cleveland are basically going to have to pay a big portion of that.
That's just basically how it is all the time.
I know. So here's my thing. If you're going to do it, I mean, let's do it. I would love to have a new stadium. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if we're going to renovate, First Energy Stadium is nice. Don't get me wrong. It's a nice stadium. Is it that old? No.
Nope.
In 1999, it was built.
I think it's a great looking stadium.
Yes.
In a night game, you're walking, look across, it's lit up on the lake. It's enough to make a grown man cry.
Yeah.
But the functionality of it is terrible.
That's fair. Yeah, So as a season ticket holder, here's my two things that I would love to have. I would love to have just a little bit more bathrooms. I'm not going to lie. If I decide that I'm going to drink at the game, it is a good chance I'm going to miss like a whole quarter taking a piss. That is just a real, real statement. It kind of, there's times where I don't even want to drink because I'm like, I don't want to miss any of the action.
Yep.
My other thing too is I think the idea of having a retractable roof is kind of cool. I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, I've been to like some of the crappiest games in the world.
Say, you would know.
And don't get me wrong, I have lots of coats, so I'm fine, and lots of hand warmers and stuff. But like, would it be nice to go up there and just be able to just wear a jersey to the game, you know, with my coat and take it off at the game? Hell yeah, it would be cool. Yeah. I mean, it would be awesome. Do I think that that is a possibility? Maybe. I don't know. It depends on how true this article ends up being. I don't know if they ever put a roof on First Energy. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know the logistics.
Right. Because it's built. I don't know how we're going to pull that off.
Now, if you think about it, I mean, SoFi has a roof.
And it's open.
It's an open stadium with a roof. But is there room to do that with the lake right there?
And it's in California too, bro.
Yeah.
the weather's a little different.
A little bit, yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what the logistics are about putting a roof on a building. I'm not an architect.
Right.
You know, how would it look and that kind of stuff. Got to get a retractable roof, though. I don't care if it's on First Energy Stadium or if you got to build a new stadium. It's got to happen. Because, one, I'm tired of crap weather games. I don't care about
Field weather.
Home field weather conditions. How much has that happened to help the Browns in our career since we've come back?
I mean, I feel like we're those games. It's like up in the air. We're either going to win 10-6, or we're going to lose
13-7-3
or something. Yeah, right. It sucks.
I mean, the Browns are way under 500 since coming back. So how much?
I'm not blaming that all on weather, bro.
No, but I'm saying if.
But I know what you're saying.
If the weather was such an advantage, right, that would not be the case. Okay, and two, it'd be nice if our new kicker got to kick in some better weather conditions. Three,
like no wind.
Yes, the biggest thing I want to see done with the stadium, and why I wish like they would build a new one, not because the parking is awful.
Parking is a nightmare.
Parking and traffic. If it's a 1 o'clock game, you gotta be in Cleveland by like 9:30.
Yep.
Or you're not getting to the game on time.
Not getting out of Cleveland till
5:30.
Oh yep. My god. Easy. The last time I went to a game, I parked in the parking garage that everybody has to park in, basically. Yep. And I didn't move out of my spot for over an hour.
Yeah. That's real. That sucks.
I will say this. The COVID year when I had season tickets was some of the best, just in and out. You could park wherever you wanted. I mean, there was literally like 12,000 people at the game. So I never really worried about having to go to the bathroom, you know, like I never had to worry about finding good parking. And I got a hookup too. They sold me their parking pass too, and it was right on the water.
I mean, unless you have one of those parking passes, the closest parking's a jaunt.
Yeah.
It's not.
Unless you park, I park across the street. I'm probably giving away hidden secrets, but I park across the street. You know, there's that little, like, I guess it would be just that park or whatever up on top, right, where a lot of people tailgate. Yeah. I park right there. As long as you get in there by
six hours before the game,
it's not bad. I think it's $25 and it's literally a 10-minute walk to the stadium. So that, I'll give you guys my secrets on that. Now, like if you show up at 11:30, they shut down that main road up to,
they start shutting streets down.
Yeah, up to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you're done. You will not even get close to the stadium. You'll end up parking, at Progressive Field or whatever they're calling it now.
And they start shutting streets down. So if you want to get into Cleveland, be able to get to your parking garage, you have to get there at 9 a.m. because it's starting at like 10. They start shutting streets down from up by Progressive Field, getting closer to. So then you have to go to the stadium on like Al Lerner Way or whatever. Yep. And it's backed up for 10 miles.
And you have to drive right by it. Yeah. You have to drive by. You're like, that's where I want to go. And you just have to keep going because the cops are like, nope, no.
And you'll sit in that traffic line for 3 hours. It's crazy. I would like to see them. This might sound, I'd like to see them move it out of like the main part of Cleveland.
Well, they were talking about even moving it to where the post office is.
I don't know what.
So it's not as, I mean, I don't think you'd be as condensed in, and then they would build a pretty decent sized parking area and parking garage and all that. But it would be sweet. What if they did like a stadium? People are going to freak out, but what if they built in like Parma?
Independence.
Yeah, I think, or that'd be sweet. Or even, you know, I don't know, like,
I mean, Independence is like two exits up from the main part of Cleveland.
I love the experience of like walking up the ramp in the water, you know, like you get to look, and I love that. And especially like before week six, it's awesome. Yeah. Like it's beautiful. And it's a great experience. It's like one of my favorite experiences as a sporting fan. Like you can go to Cleveland, go to the, you know, baseball game and it's awesome. But like, there's something about like going up the ramp and the wind's blowing and, you know, you see people getting hammered on the boats and everything. And, you know, I think I would be upset about it moving off the lake, but also, if there was a new experience that came with it, I would be okay with it. Like a $1 billion stadium.
Yeah, I think the stadium has a lot to do with also being attractive to like the free agent market and players wanting to actually play in your city.
Yeah.
You think about like Lambeau Field, okay, obviously that weather sucks. It's going to be really cold there, but there's tradition there. So players are attracted to that, the tradition, the Lambeau League, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yep. There's no tradition like that with First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio.
No.
So who cares?
And jump in the dog pound, and that's about it.
But you can have the dog pound anywhere. Inside.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And I thought it was a good point. Where's a lot of the best talent in the country? South.
Oh.
I mean, we almost lost out on Deshaun because he didn't want to play in the cold weather.
Yeah. That's fair.
You know what I mean? So if you're
and that might also be pushing some of this motivation to do this is, hey, we got this guy, but we almost didn't.
Yeah. I mean, so if you're trying to get like the top end talent, obviously, you know, we got like the Buckeyes up here, but a lot of it's from down south and they don't like the snow and they don't like the cold. They want to play where it's warm. They want to play in a dome.
Yep.
So I think it's got to happen. To me, it's almost crazy that they built one in 99 or whatever and didn't put one on it. It's kind of crazy.
That is. I mean,
I guess the league was different back then. You were running the ball more. The NFL is so different now. I want to see two teams lined up, and I want to see them at their best playing each other. Yeah. I don't want to watch them slipping and falling, trying to run through
that's
8 inches of snow.
That's why every college football playoff game is played in a dome.
Yeah.
Now, to add to this, though, if you do the dome, I think you have to go retractable roof, though, on it.
Oh, for sure.
I want grass, though, man. Oh, I don't want the turf, and I don't want to see torn ACLs, and I don't know if there's, to me, I feel like there's a link there. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
you can, well, here's the thing. You can do, I would do retractable just roll roof because it's better.
The
but
grass.
You can do grass in a dome.
Yeah.
You can still do it. They just go buy grass and roll it out.
Yeah, have you seen them do that where they just literally just, yeah, they pull it straight out of like four tractors and then it's just on the field.
So Arizona does 100%. And I don't know if you guys have ever paid attention. The Browns field conditions by the end of the year, they can suck.
Oh, yeah.
Because the field,
because the weather sucks.
And then you're playing it in mud and you're ripping up the middle of the field. You put a retractable roof on it and you have it closed in the wintertime. It's not getting wet and stuff like that. All of a sudden, your field conditions end of the year are still good.
Yeah. And why wouldn't you just want to give your franchise every advantage you can get?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The weather's not an advantage.
No, it is a disadvantage for everybody. Just because it's your hometown, I mean, that's muddy for you too.
Yeah.
It's cold for you too.
It's not like it's only windy when they have the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
It's raining on everybody.
Yep. Which is really funny because I said that they should put a dome in Cleveland. I think it was last year. And
I'm pretty sure I argued with
very you. Mad at me for saying that.
I think it was like a tradition thing. It was like a tradition thing. Like, and I still see people, like, even when they talked about it, they were like, the AFC North is, you know, like hard nosed. Like, you know, this is what it is. And we have Nick Chubb and we can dominate on the ground. I'm like, well, Nick Chubb will still be very good in good conditions.
Yeah, when it's dry.
It's okay. But I get like the argument, but like if I think it would be so appealing. And then think about how cool it would be if 10 years down the road we host a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
it gives
like
you that opportunity.
Like Cleveland, don't get me wrong when I say this, is Cleveland nightlife the same as Miami or Las Vegas?
We just
or
hosted
LA.
The NBA All-Star game and by all accounts, like Cleveland was.
And so was the baseball when they did the All-Star game. Yeah. I heard it, and that was during what, COVID? Or was that year after? Maybe it was right around the same time.
It might have been the year before.
Yeah. But so, I think it was, but that's my thing is like, that would be great for the city. The city of Cleveland needs something other than LeBron James to energize the economy, like sports-wise. And like Browns are going to sell out regardless. I mean, they've been selling out with garbage teams for the last 23 years.
Well, and if they build a new stadium, you know, like in, I know paying more taxes definitely sucks, and I don't know the how much the taxes would go up for these people, and it's easy for me to say just pay it because I don't live there.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to realize how much if you build a stadium that can be used all year round and you got a stadium that's attracting the best talent and your team's winning and you're hosting, you know, 60 concerts a year and all this stuff, the economy of Cleveland is better, and then therefore your life is better.
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
I think their big argument is, man, our school system sucks. So how are we going to put $1 billion, you know, stadium in Cleveland when we can't even give proper education? That's a different argument, though. That is not for this podcast.
No,
this is a different podcast.
So let us know what you guys think. Again, I know this time last year when I said get a dome or roof, people did not like it. And then fast forward a year. The Browns they must have listened. They liked my idea.
They listen to our show all the time, man. They're always
Joe Thomas
our stuff.
Does at least. Yeah. Yep. Steals all the ideas.
Yep. All right, Browns fans, just going to take a quick break in the action, and I want to talk to all of the grilling guys out there and ladies, because let's face it, ladies like to grill too. Grilling is awesome, but it's only awesome when you're grilling awesome food, and that means Omaha Steaks. There's nothing better than Omaha Steaks. I've been doing these things for a couple years now, and it's not just steaks. It's all the food they have to offer. Everything is absolutely delicious. And they have some of the best deals you can imagine. Right now, the All-American assortment is on sale. It's normally about $280-some on sale right now for $130. With our promo code, go to omahasteaks.com, type in dogs, D-A-W-G-S, into the search bar. Go to the Dogs Podcast landing page. Access yourself this awesome deal for the All-American assortment. You're going to get 4 butcher's cut filet mignons, 4 boneless pork chops. You're going to get air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, jumbo franks. You're going to get the caramel apple tartlets. You get the seasoning with everything. And then if you order the All-American assortment using our code DAWGS into the search bar, you're going to get 8 Omaha Steak burgers for free. That's almost a $30 value. And the steak burgers aren't like normal burgers, guys. These things are steak burgers. They're freaking delicious. So get yourself onto omahasteaks.com right now. Go to the search bar at the top, DAWGS. Go to the Dogs Podcast landing page. Get yourself the All-American assortment right now. Great deal, great steaks, great food. And it's just, it just makes grilling so much better.
So that, this brings us to some lighter news. This came out, I think, today. Wide receiver in the division, Chase Claypool, on the We Are Athlete podcast or something, I think that's what it's called, comes out and says he knows. Let me read the direct quote. I want to make sure I get
that right.
I don't want to.
I think it's I Am Athlete, isn't it?
I have no idea. I Am Athlete
podcast. And he said, I know for a fact I'm not like the rest of these guys in the NFL. Well, that's true. I know I'm a top three receiver. My first thought was, did he mean on the Steelers?
I don't even think he's the top receiver on the Steelers. And then to make the argument, I don't even think he's a top three receiver in the AFC North.
No, he's definitely not.
Jamar Chase, you could put him all day over him. Easy. I think Amari Cooper is over him.
Definitely.
Easy. Help me out here.
T. Higgins,
correct.
Well, the tweet I saw, you know, had his quote saying, I'm a top three receiver, and said he's absolutely correct. Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Chase Claypool. Right. Number three. Right. Like you said.
There's no way he – and this guy's delusional, man. I think he has all the tools
He's such talent.
The talent could be there. And exactly. Like his build is crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He could be a monster in the league. He really could be. He won't be.
For his career, let's see. Last year he had 860 yards and 2 touchdowns.
It was a pretty big fall from his rookie year.
And then his rookie year, he had 873 yards and he had 9 touchdowns. Now I think he had a lot of rushing touchdowns.
2 or 3 rushing. Yeah.
So
he was over 10.
But it's like, hey, guy, man, you ain't that guy. What's that mean? What's that? Like that TikTok or whatever, where he's like, you're not that guy. You're not that guy, bro.
That's I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you don't TikTok. You run our TikTok page.
I don't TikTok,
but I don't,
my wife TikToks,
I
don't browse TikTok.
Yeah. I browse a lot of talks.
I guess I'll make an argument for him. I don't think that he's a top three receiver in the league. Now, will I make the argument that his quarterback play the last 2 seasons after week 10 of like that first season with Roethlisberger has not been able to throw the ball. He hasn't and then, you know, you have Mason Rudolph stepping in here, Duck Hodges stepping in. So I'm not saying that Mitch Trubisky can revitalize or make him a top three receiver, but I think that if he had a better quarterback, like let's say a top three quarterback, like a Mahomes or a
Rodgers,
you know, I think that, or a Josh Allen, I think that he would be in the argument of a top 15 receiver or something like that, you know, but I just, for him to say he's a top three receiver, bro, you gotta put some numbers with that and some stats with that. And
maybe like, quit talking.
Yeah. Quit TikToking.
TikToking.
So I'm looking, I'm on PFF right now and I'm looking for it. Top receivers for this season, okay? And so far I'm down to tier 3, and he has not shown up yet. I'm on tier 4, not there. Tier 5, I haven't seen his name.
I'm on that too.
Literally, he's not even listed.
Yeah.
I can't find him anywhere on PFF. So here's the elite guys. And tell me without even looking at this list, if you're already looking at who do you think the top 3 receivers in the league are?
I'll hit them. Devontae Adams.
Yep.
Cooper Kupp. And then for me, I think that there's a couple guys that you could throw in the mix. If DeAndre Hopkins doesn't get suspended, I think you could throw him in there because he's a stud. Mm-hmm. And then there's 2 guys that I think are up and coming, but they have to do a little bit more. I think you could say Justin Jefferson could definitely be close to that top 3 discussion. And then I think if Jamar Chase has another huge year, his name elevates way up that list.
I think Tyreek Hill needs to be on
Tyreek Hill. Yes. Yeah. I forgot Tyreek Hill.
It might be. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it works with Tua.
But correct.
I mean, he's a heck of a receiver, though.
I would say if he's still with Kansas City, you go Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, and then Tyreek Hill, and that's it. There's your 3.
You guys are forgetting a big guy who I thought of at number 3 before DeAndre Hopkins.
Diggs. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
I just pulled up a fantasy app just to see where he was ranked projection-wise.
I'm going to, can I take a guess? I'm going to say 42.
Oh, you're pretty close. 38.
Wow.
38.
That's pretty, that is a hell of a guess.
He's only two spots ahead of rookie Drake London, who has Marcus Mariota throwing in the ball. So that's what fantasy thinks of Chase Claypool.
I mean, Odell Beckham's 21 here. He's
not even going to play.
He's not even going to play. Yeah. You know, I'm going back through this list just to see if I missed him because I can't even believe that he's not even on here. I mean, tier five is up-and-comers. He's not even in the up-and-comer list. And tier four is maybe not elite but high-quality pass catchers.
What are some of the names on there?
Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, Mike Williams, DJ Moore, Brandon Cooks, Hunter Renfrow, Tyler Boyd, Cortland Sutton.
I would take all those guys.
Let me see. What's tier three called? Tier three.
Amari Cooper would be a little higher than that tier.
You would think so, but.
Tier three is former tier one veterans eyeing a bounce back, getting healthy. And tier two is young talents on the cusp of tier one. So here's what, if we think Amari Cooper's a little low, here's the people in tier two and see if you think there's anybody he should take his spot. Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, C.D. Lamb, T. Higgins, Terry McLaurin.
No.
I think he would take C.D. Lamb's
spot. Oh, we're saying Amari Cooper?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant no. Chase Claypool. No.
I could see him taking C.D. Lamb's spot, and I could see him taking D.K. Metcalf's spot.
Metcalf, I think, is going to have a down year because the quarterback play is not there. I think C.D. Lamb might have a pretty decent year because he's going to take over number one.
My reasoning for saying Amari could be on the spot instead of him, they were literally just on the same team, and Amari Cooper was the one.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. A good argument. And that's fair.
You know what I mean? If CD was better than Amari, then he would have been the one.
But thinking in tier two was what? Young talent on the
tier cusp was of one? Young talent on the cusp of tier one. Yeah. I guess Amari, wouldn't be considered young.
Because he's 26?
Somewhere in there. But so Amari, and then like I said, tier three was veterans. He's not coming off an injury. So tier four, maybe not elite, but high quality pass catchers. That's probably a good way to describe Amari.
Now that I understand the tiers a little better, but I agree.
I just think Chase Claypool is delusional. He'd been hanging out with Juju Smith-Schuster too often.
Yeah. Well, that's another receiver that won't be on the Steelers much longer.
Chase Claypool? Yeah. No, he announced his replacement. Yeah. It's a draft. They're like, hey, man, we want you to go out there and draft this wide receiver for us.
Yeah.
Just the game last year, he's a head case. I mean, their clock's running down, and he celebrates instead of giving the ball to the official, then time runs out.
Yep, I remember that.
I mean, that's just classic. He's talking in the press conference about, well, if we want to be better, Coach Tomlin should let us play music at practice. Bro, this guy hasn't had a losing season ever.
Why don't you get the ball to the ref and keep playing?
Yeah, quickly. You're going to tell Mike Tomlin he needs to play music? I mean,
Mike Tomlin don't play around with stuff like that. No, I mean, he has had legit elite talent, and he has been like, I don't need your guys' crap. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown.
Chase Claypool just reminds me of, I don't want to sound like a boomer here, but he's just like what a lot of the younger generation is like.
I agree. Just
like this TikTok, I'm going to dance. I'm only here so I can try to get more likes.
It's very narcissistic. It's all about me and I'm the center of everything.
I mean, he's a wide receiver, bro. They're kind of like that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem like football. If you told him, hey, you could win this football game or you could hit 1 million followers, he'd be like, oh, give me the 1 million followers.
Yeah, and you know, you say that about wide receivers, but that's like really, really good wide receivers that get that, like, fair. Prima donna.
Not
like,
ones who can't even make the PFF, like, top 50 list.
Never had he's been under 1,000 yards both seasons. He's not the number one on his team. Like, kid, just calm her down.
And his numbers as far as rankings, like, in the league last year, 29th for targets, 37th for receptions, 31st for receiving yards. So it's not like, and I, like I said, Roethlisberger wasn't good.
No.
So maybe in a different, with a different quarterback that improves.
We'll see.
I think he's got tons of potential.
Oh, absolutely.
I just don't know if he'll ever tap into it because I just don't know if his brain.
He's got to get out of his own way.
Yes, 100%. But we just wanted to poke fun at him a little bit. I'm sure we'll get some fun comments on YouTube for that.
Yeah, Steelers suck.
Yeah. Then the last thing we want to talk about here, Josh sent this little list. It was a, it's a list of Browns potential trade targets this year who are on other teams in the last year of their deal.
Right. So they'll be free agents after this season.
Correct.
So teams that might be looking to
offload.
Offload, maybe get something in return.
So let me pull this list back up, and we don't have to go through the whole list. The I guess the there are a couple names that grabbed my eye. For me, the biggest one was Irv Smith.
That, okay. So that was one of mine.
That one popped off for me too.
Okay.
So it says here, let me get to him. I know who Josh likes off this
list.
Oh,
shut up. Actually.
Right. We'll get to him. I know who Josh likes. But it says Smith didn't play terribly his first two seasons in the league at a tough position to adjust to. 66 catches, 676 yards, and 7 touchdowns. We're fine. Just maybe not what they're looking for in a second round pick. He missed all of last year due to 2021. But he would have familiarity with Kevin Stefanski. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've been on the record on this show a lot lately is we need another tight end.
Yep, we need tight end.
I've always liked Irv Smith when he came into the league. I think he's got a lot of talent. I think he's a good tight end.
And I think you could get him on the cheap.
He's young, so he's still developing. I think he could grow into a really good tight end for us.
Agreed. I think we could get him on. They're probably not completely sold on him. Because of, you know, his production wasn't all world, and then he missed all of last year on an injury. I think that would be somebody we could target if we don't go after one of these free agent guys. Tight end, to me, is the biggest need on the Browns.
I'll hit my other one real quick, Josh, and then I'll let you talk about your favorite player here in a second. But the guy that I saw on here that I was kind of excited about was Marvin Jones.
I knew that's who you were going
to
say.
Yeah. Like, just nice veteran. Like, to me, I think the Browns could be in a good place as far as wide receiver, but I'm also on the record saying if we have, like, any injuries at wide receiver, I think we are – it's kind of bad. Like, our depth chart gets very, very small very quickly. So, I love that. If we could bring him in, a veteran leader, somebody that could take – some pressure off of Amari Cooper as far as if he's getting doubled. That guy, Marvin Jones, is still a stud, and he's getting older, and he's still productive, extremely productive.
He's kind of, I would use the word, like, crafty.
Yes, and he's great hands. Like, mm-hmm. I can't tell you his highlights. Some of them are just one hand, tiptoeing, end zone catches. He's a stud.
I think if tight ends are biggest need, wide receivers right up there with it.
Yep, and D-tackle. Defensive tackle. And there are some D-tackles on here that I want to mention, but...
Let's not skip over your... Go ahead. We gave you the platform.
We gave you the spotlight. Yeah.
All right. So the wide receiver that I would have my eye on is not actually N'Keal Harry.
Thank God. Yeah, right, bro. Yeah.
You got a poster.
Where's Jarrett Stidham at? He wasn't even on this list.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm ready to go with N'Keal Harry's a bust, but I do like Nelson Agholor.
Okay.
I think that he could add a dimension to our wide receiving core that may not exactly be filled yet. Mm-hmm. I think that he could be a good speedster that can get down the field. Kind of a little bit, I don't know what I want to say, a little faster than Donovan Peoples-Jones, a little more field stretcher than like Amari Cooper. But he's kind of like, he's reliable in a you don't need him all the time kind of way.
Yeah, he kind of broke out for the Raiders big time.
Yep.
I mean, I think he had a couple rough seasons with Philly, correct?
His career did not start out well.
Yeah, and then he went, and I feel like that second half of the season for the Raiders – I could be wrong on that, but he just kind of exploded, and he became like that second guy, you know, as far on the depth chart for Derek Carr. I like that. I mean, especially if you can bring him in on a decent deal where he's just.
And if David Bell is going to somehow take over this number two role, which is kind of what we're hearing out of the camp and stuff, and I mean, reports on him are pretty high.
Yeah, really high.
Yeah. So, I mean, adding a veteran like Agholor as a good depth piece could really help.
Yeah.
What about Darius Slayton?
I wouldn't hate Darius Slayton. I don't think he's...
I mean, his rookie year was... He had 8 touchdowns, 740 yards.
Yeah, he started out pretty hot. I think he's kind of tapered off, but he's got a quarterback problem too.
Mm-hmm. And so, a coaching problem.
A lot of coaching problem. Yeah. And,
you know what I mean?
He's got a New York Giants problem.
He's one of these guys that could possibly just need a change of scenery.
Yeah. Not like N'Keal Harry?
No. And this dude ran a 4.39, 6.1, ran a 4.39.
He's shown the production on the field that... He can do it.
Yeah, I mean, if he had had 2 years like that, according to Chase Claypool, he'd be the number two receiver in the league. Like, so there's some interesting people to look at. Who do you guys think the biggest need is? Let us know in the comments. Again, I think tight end and receiver. You're looking at an injury to Njoku, and all of a sudden your tight end room is bare. And you're looking at an injury to Amari Cooper, and your wide receiver room
is in trouble.
Is bare.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like Bradley Roby, the cornerback.
Ohio State guy.
And he doesn't have to be your top corner. He's a depth.
He's bounced around a little bit, man.
He won a Super Bowl, right? He was on the Broncos when their defense was.
I think he might have been.
Carolina.
I love Bradley Roby when he was in college.
Yeah. He was really good.
He was awesome. But no, go look at that, the tight end depth chart, and it should scare you a little bit. I mean, and the thing is Njoku misses, he's missed some games in his career.
Well, he's not going to, I don't think he plays every game.
No.
It just doesn't.
So happen. Now you roll in with Harrison Bryant and then the basketball player, it too. It's not good. And then David Bell might, if he ascends to be the number two guy, if Amari Cooper goes out, David Bell doesn't, he's not going to be your number one. That's not like his thing.
No, we tried to roll with DPJ as a number one last year. I mean, that's not his thing either.
No, so I think we're real thin there, very thin.
And like you said, Justin, Aguilar really stepped up for Derek Carr. I mean, at times he played like the one.
Yeah.
If he can hang on to the ball, he's good. His problem in Philly is, I mean, couldn't catch a cold.
Right.
He was Greg Little.
Maybe it was the weather.
Maybe. Maybe he didn't like Carson Wentz.
That's fair.
I don't think anybody does.
So, but yeah, those are some people to keep an eye on. Let us know what you guys think the biggest needs are. I know some people out here are trying to tell me the wide receiver room is fine. We don't need anybody. A lot of faith in Anthony Schwartz and DPJ and a rookie to really have big years.
Yep, and Amari Cooper to stay healthy all season.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to need some talent around Jacoby Brissett if Deshaun is suspended for any length of time. He's not going to be good enough to be the guy who carries us to wins.
Right, and there's no guarantee the whole team comes out of the preseason healthy.
Correct.
We might start with DPJ as our number one, you know.
Yeah.
God forbid.
We're thin at some spots still. I'm not convinced the Browns are 100% happy. It's a little weird that they haven't made any moves, especially with like these camps. You'd think you'd want to get people in, but there's no way they're pumped that their third tight end right now was a basketball player 6 months ago.
Yeah. I mean, and with training camp not happening till, you know, later next month, I don't know. I there's time for Andrew Berry to bring in some veterans who you don't need them in here for these OTAs and, you know, mini camps and stuff. You don't need the veterans for that kind of stuff. Yep. Just get them in here for the team and get them acclimated and ready to roll for the season.
Yep. So, well, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Let us know who you guys think the biggest needs are. Let us know how crazy you think Chase Claypool is. Let us know if you think the Browns need to build a new stadium, add a roof. What are your guys' thoughts there? And then let us know what you guys think about Deshaun. I'm sure you guys will. 20 of the 24 civil cases have been settled. So let us know what you guys think about all that. If you're looking for more this content, jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. We're about to jump over there and do an after hours episode. We got a lot of fun on those episodes. Last week we just talked about bad haircuts and tipping, and it was fun. People seem to enjoy it. So if that's kind of your jive, jump in over there. It's a ton of fun for everybody. And if we don't see you there, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast and become an official Dog Pack member and join the dogs.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.